Cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong. Cause you're wonderful. You got to have faith. To have wisdom. Queen, you were built for this. Hey queens, hey, how are y'all doing tonight? Hey queens. Welcome to Queen You Were Built For This, the podcast. I am your host and steward, Latoya Perry. And today we are going to be talking about, So we've been talking about a lot of uplifting and powerful subjects on this podcast, and today is not any different. But today we're going to be exploring the many facets of grief and how God wants us to view death and mourning. So a little bit of background for this theme is that I have, hey T, thanks for joining. Is that I have personally have experienced a lot of loss, a lot of losses in the past few years, especially, course, during the time of the pandemic, of course, and all of that, but not necessarily due to the virus itself. And I have come to realize that I have been feeling super acquainted with grief. And it's something that I've come to terms with that I need God to help me with. And in that process, and today is no different. I had a homegoing celebration that I attended today for one of my sisters in Christ, who was an absolutely beautiful person. And she left a legacy of love. Like, it was packed. Like, almost standing room only from all of the people whose lives she impacted, who came to send her off, to send to celebrate her life. And while as believers we know that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And we know that that's where she is, that she made it in. There are a lot of, well, for me, I can say that as happy as I am, that she does not have to feel grief and sorrow or hurt, and that her body is now perfect, because she is no longer have to worry about her earthly body any longer. So I'm happy about that. I'm ecstatic. I'm joyful she gets to hear "well done." But I'm also saddened at the fact that there are things that she won't get to experience with her children. I'm saddened that I'm going to have to remind myself not to go to her Facebook page and expect to see an update. And it's not just her, but it's also one of my nieces, two of my nieces. One of my nieces was an adult. She was married, and her husband passed months apart. Her husband, he passed, and then she transitioned. And then my baby niece, she transitioned. My godmother, my aunt, a childhood friend of mine. It's been a lot. And so I know I'm not the only one who's going through grief or going through grief, and I will never be the only one. I figured that we'd have a talk about the different facets of grief and how God wants us to view death and mourning. And so the first scripture that I'm going to talk about is is the 147th number of Psalm, verse 3, and it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds." And well, again, that's the 147th number of Psalm, and it's the third verse. And once again, it reads, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And I'm not going to lie, it's a pretty difficult subject for me because, like I said, this is an extremely fresh revelation for me. And her celebration of life was literally this morning, going into this afternoon, and it was a celebration. We praised God for her life, and we worshiped God, and it was beautiful. But I'm also knowing that I'm reminded of the fact that sometimes we don't grieve properly as a people, as a culture, as individuals. Sometimes we do not grieve properly. And I'm going to read the same verse, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. And it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow." And so when we are feeling brokenhearted and we're feeling hurt, and for us, we're hurt beyond repair. In that moment, it doesn't seem like anything is going to stop that hurt. God is able to. God heals the hurt. And we might not see it because we're living in it or we're living through it. However, it does not last always. Another one is, and which is also similar, is another psalm. It's Psalm 34, verse 18. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified version first. And it says, "The Lord is near to the broken," or "to the Lord is near to the heartbroken, and he saved those who are crushed in spirit, which is a contrite in heart and truly sorry for their sins." Well, another version says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." So once again, when you are feeling low and down, and when you're hurting and when you're heartbroken, when you feel betrayed and utterly disgusted, God is there. He's right there with you. He has given us the Holy Spirit, a comforter, so that we're able to get through, because he doesn't expect us to be able to do it by ourselves. He doesn't expect us to just get over it. But there's a time and a season for everything. There's a purpose to every season that comes. John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So we don't have to be troubled in our heart. We don't have to be afraid. If you need peace, you can ask God for peace. God says that I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. So if we keep our minds on him, even in the midst of going through loss, even in the midst of facing the reality of not being able to see loved ones anymore, people that you care about, we have memories. You remember their laughter. You remember the jokes that they told. You remember how they did everything that was within their humanly possibility to brighten the countenance of every person that they came around. You remember their support. You remember their care and their love. And you allow God to give you peace, because God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And when we feel like it's too much, when we feel like it's too much for us to bear, Matthew 11:28-30, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God does not intend for us to be stuck. The same way that God does not intend for us to be stuck in our grief, in our pain, is the same that God was not willing for those that we love and care about to be stuck hurting and in pain. It's God's will that we be with him. To be absent in the body, once again, is to be present with the Lord. And this 116th number of Psalm, verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So he finds it precious, and he takes them, and they're not worried about grief. They're not worried about pain. They're not worried about the hurt. They don't have to worry about their bodies and whatever ailment or sickness that they have to go through. Any of that. So that's something to be celebrated. It really is something to be celebrated. And when we think about that, when we think about how great it is that they are able to go from labor to reward, they get to hear well done, they get to rest. Whereas when we're on earth, we're on go mode all the time, right? We want to be superhuman, super sisters, super brothers. We want to do all the things. We have so many goals and expectations of life. We have so many plans, so many things that we want to do. So many people we want to see and touch. And the time. And one of the most, one of the things that you keep hearing, when is that time, when someone's name is called, when somebody's number is pulled, is, I wish I had more time. I wish that I could have spent more time with this person. I wish I could have saw this person more, talked to them more. I wish I could have done this. And I'm one of those people too. They said, I wish I could have had more of this experience with, or experienced more with this person, or traveled more with this person. But God wants us to focus on the things that we did get a chance to do. Focus more on being grateful and thankful for the times that you did have. And yes, T, regrets can kill you. Yes. Regrets can make you sick. And God doesn't want us to live with regrets. That's not his will for us or his purpose for us. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, verses 42 through 44. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Wow. God is amazing. God is simply amazing. Is awesome that he would make sure he accounted for everything that we needed. He accounts for all that we need. So now those that we love, they are no longer having to worry about fragility. They don't have to worry about it. And our goal is to hear what they got to hear. When you are in Christ, there is a goal. When you are in Christ, you have a destination. And that's a song that I happen to love by Erica Campbell, as well as Destination. But we have an expectancy. We are expecting to make it in. We're doing and living all that we can to make it in. To make it, to see him. We're living to live again. We're not living to for anything else but to live again. to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, to rest in the arms of our Savior. And the beautiful thing about resting in his arms is that we can rest in his arms now. Romans 12 and 13, it says that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. So even if you yourself have not experienced grief to this effect, be there for someone else. Be a shoulder to cry on. Be an ear to listen, a sounding board, and be willing. Being willing to mourn with those who mourn, to be empathetic, to show empathy, and be sympathetic to what others are going through, because God is relational. And he gives us the ability to be relational as well. He gives us that ability to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn, so that no one has to bear anything by themselves, because it's not his will that we bear anything by ourselves. That's not what he wants for us. One of my favorite scriptures, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, which says, "For I am sure," and you don't have to get my Bible so that I can read this from the Amplified version as well, but I'm going to read the version that I've started already. "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is one of my favorite scriptures. And I've said the scripture many of times, is that there is nothing, you yourself cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So death definitely can't. If death couldn't hold Jesus, then it definitely can't do anything to separate us from the love of God. Here we go. "For I am convinced," and once again, this is the Amplified version, and I'm reading the same scripture, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So nothing. There is not a weapon formed. There is not a force that can separate us from the love of God. That's how awesome our God is that there is nothing that'll separate you from him. It's very comforting. It's very comforting. Is the most awesome thing that you could ever know. And then one of my last scriptures is And this was going to be a quick episode tonight, a short episode tonight. But one of my last scriptures is Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And it reads, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." In the Amplified version, it reads, "And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be death. There will no longer be sorrow and anguish or crying or pain, for the former order of things has passed away." And then I'm going to go down to verse 5. "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy." So it's trustworthy. We can trust in the word of God. We can trust in every word that he has said. That he has something better for us. And we are able to have the blessings that he has for us here. Especially when we're in his will, especially when we're living as he has called us to live, loving as he has called us to love. It's in his unlimited love. And then when it's over, when he calls us home, we get to rest and worship and praise him and not have to worry about being fragile at the end of it all. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And this has helped me. This has helped me look at grief a little bit differently. And I'm praying that it helped you to look at it differently as well. And we'll be talking about navigating through grief more. But I've talked more so on how we should respond to it in this episode and how God would have us to respond to it and how God cares for us when we're grieving. You said rest and worship sounds so nice. It does. It does sound very nice. That has been our episode for this evening. I love you all. I love you, love you, love you all. And please remember, if you don't remember anything else, please, queens, remember that you were built for this.
Cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong. Cause you're wonderful. You got to have faith to have wisdom.